how we look at families who care for children when children have to experience foster care. For a very long time, they're called foster parents. And quite frankly, some foster parents really like to be called foster parents. But Oregon has a vision for transformation. Over the last couple years, we're really changing the way we look at work with families, valuing families as a unit where children do best and thrive within that family system. And a resource parent, which is what foster parents are now called. They're called resource parents. A resource is so much more than someone who cares for a child. They're someone who supports a family system. And if you've met any resource parents, you know that they are doing an incredible job at caring for kids, but they're also just doing so much more than that. And resource encompasses that.
Well, I appreciate that, expanding the definition to really describe the breadth and depth of what it means to be, you know, a resource parent. And Andrea, I do want to give you a little bit of my background or incentive for having you come here. You know, I work in the county commissioner's office, and Asia Richardson has been working for the county commissioners. And she is, I believe, is she the president of the Lincoln County Foster Parent Association?
Yes, she is.
Okay. And I think Katie Jacobson, maybe former president and board member now. And I've been learning from them as I see them. Asia recently, who had a child for several days and just, you know, really amazed at their compassion, you know, and their empathy and their desire to help kids in Lincoln County. And I thought, well, all right, let's do a radio show about it and discuss what the needs are. But before we talk about those needs, Andrea, how long have you been doing this type of work?
Well, I have been a resource family recruitment and retention champion, longest name in the world.
Yes.
For about a year. And because they were created by the legislature, my understanding is, a couple years back, to really focus on finding the right families, finding diverse families, supporting those families we already have. So I've been doing that for a year, but I've been in public child welfare in Oregon for about 17 years. CPS worker, that's Child Protective Services, permanency worker, supervisor, trainer.
Can you speak a little bit about your personal history? Any drivers through your upbringing that's made you passionate or made you veer towards this work?
I've always known that I wanted to help people. Also happened to faint at the sight of blood, so that limits what you're able to do. But I have a brother who's adopted internationally. He came into my family when he was 7 and I was 4. That obviously impacted my entire life. I remember the day he came to Portland Airport and picked him up. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my gosh.
So I value, and my whole family really values, caring for people who need care. And I also am an adoptive parent myself. I have a 2-year-old at home. She was sleeping when I left.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have that part of me as well.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Well, you really are living it. And I imagine that helps you really connect to parents when they're looking at possibly being a resource parent, or when they're having challenges through that process.
I sure hope that that comes across.
Yeah.
I feel that connection to them.
Yeah, I imagine you do. We're talking to Andrea Bellows. She is a resource family recruitment and retention champion, Oregon Department of Human Services. We're going to take our first break, come back, and let's talk about what is that need for resource parents in Lincoln County. We'll be back in just a moment. Yes, we are back on Lincoln County Connections. With us today, Andrea Bellows with Resource Family Recruitment and Retention, Oregon Department of Human Services. We're talking about foster parenting, but from here on out, if you've been listening to us, we're really going to refer to this as resource parenting. And Andrea, I appreciate learning about your personal history, what makes you passionate about the work that you do. But help us understand, what is the need in Lincoln County? And I will say, you know, my conversations with Katie and Asia, for example, who are resource parents, is, wow, that, you know, there is a lot of need.
I think that around the state, honestly, there is always going to be opportunity for us to be seeking out diverse applicants, people who have a passion for working with kids and making that difference, people in specific communities. That's always going to be, I guess you'd call it, a need. Specific to Lincoln County, though, I know that it's more challenging to place children who are adolescents. People think of foster care as, oh, I wouldn't mind taking care of a sweet little baby. There are some real perks to caring for teenagers. You know, they can set an alarm and wake themselves up. They usually know how to use a microwave. You know, silly things like that, that if you parent a toddler like I'm doing right now, you think, wow, someday I won't be waking up in the middle of the night. In addition to adolescence, I think that it, what I'm really hoping for is that we have families come forward who are really excited to work with sibling groups and really excited to maybe connect with kids that are in their own children's schools or communities, maybe their grandchildren's schools or communities. It really is about keeping kids where they feel safest.
Well, do you think maybe there are some common myths around what it is? Because, you know, I guess for me, coming ignorant into the conversation somewhat, I tend to think of foster parenting, for example, as that you're taking kids for all your life. But it sounds like there's so many variations in how a resource parent can really provide for the need.
Absolutely. As someone coming forward, they can say things like, I only want to really do short term, like while you're waiting to certify a relative, because we always prefer for kids to stay with family or a kith or kin, really, family or people the family considers to be family. So someone could say, you know, I'm not really interested in longer term care, but I am interested if you're looking, if you think you're going to have a relative placement soon, I would love to be that person. There are also others that say, you know, let's just see what happens. I have a bedroom or a bed in my child's bedroom. Let's do this thing and see how it shakes out, because it can be very hard to predict how long a child is going to experience foster care.
Yeah. And as you said, the need can actually change daily.
Definitely.
I mean, what does that look like for you? And, you know, how do you get the need? How is it identified and then brought to you?
Well, I hear much more anecdotally what's happening. Child welfare data is definitely improving, but it still has a ways to go for us to really kind of narrow down what we're looking for. Like I said, it's a lot better than it was. But I hear from certifiers. I hear from caseworkers. I hear from managers about the children that are experiencing perhaps some instability in their placement, or children that might be having to experience foster care for the first time and thinking, where would they best be? What we're wanting to do is what we call placement matching. Not just, oh, here's a home, let's put these children in here. But what is the best home for these children? And in my perfect world, well, in my perfect world, there's no foster care, right?
Yeah,
we don't need it. But in my perfect child welfare foster care world, when we're looking at what would be the best fit, maybe I have 10 families that I can consider and really drill down to who has the personality that's best, who lives in the same community, who looks like this child, who has the same religion as this child, and really be able to do ideal matching.
Yeah. Well, I love that there is the desire for the flexibility. There is the scope to really match kids up with parents the right style. But I imagine sometimes it's just not possible for a parent to get that ideal scenario. And, you know, I mean, how does a parent maybe begin by exploring this and saying, you know, this is what I'm capable of? I mean, I imagine that's what you work with people through.
Yes, absolutely. So when people hopefully hear this program and think, you know, I've thought about this for a while and I have some questions. I want to get them answered, or I just want to see what the criteria is.
Yeah.
I get emails and phone calls. People contact, we have a direct line to Every Child, which is a statewide organization, and they have a call center. So they sometimes the information gets siphoned that way to me, but then I'm reaching out to families and making sure that their questions get answered so they can ask me questions like, I'm 65 years old. Is that too old to be a resource parent? And I get to say, heck no, it's not.
Yeah.
65 is the new 55, right? Or I'm a single caregiver, or I'm 20 years old. Can I be a resource parent? And to a 20-year-old, I would say, wait one more year.
Yeah.
And then I want to hear from you.
Well, do you have any recommendations for, you know, online or video or any resources that folks can explore to see if this is something they might do?
Yes, absolutely. I always recommend people look at the Oregon DHS Child Welfare website. It's okay. If you look around and kind of test it out, it will answer a lot of questions, and it will tell you where in your community you can go for more information. For Lynn, Benton, and Lincoln counties, my email address is there. And there are 15 other people that have the exact position I have all around the state. So yeah. If someone is listening to this program, but they're not from here, you can still go to that website and find information. I think that people should, as much as possible, you know, you and I were talking on the break about trauma-informed care.
Yeah.
And just doing a little internet search about what does it mean to be a trauma-informed parent? Because the children that are experiencing foster care in Lincoln County and all over the state have experienced trauma. They're not in foster care because everything was amazing and easy at home. Their parents have struggles that they're working through. And so to be a successful resource parent, I really encourage people to start with really thinking about their own family, talking to, if they have children, talking to those children. You really need buy-in from the whole family to do this well. It would be kind of a nightmare if someone started the process, finished it, had a child placed in their home, and then their kids are unhappy with it.
Yeah, right. Well,
need a good support system.
Yeah, team effort. Andrea Bellows, she is with us. We're talking about resource parenting. We're going to take a break and come back with her in just a moment. We are back on Lincoln County Connections, talking to Andrea Bellows, a resource family recruitment and retention champion. And I do believe now from talking to you that you're a champion, Andrea. Talk to us about what kids need. I think we have a general idea of that when we think about stable households for kids. But, you know, in some cases, how different are these kids with this need?
What children who are experiencing foster care and who have experienced trauma, what they need is one caring adult that is stable, that will be there no matter what. Someone to advocate for them, someone to have passion around them and to think that they're a cool person. That is what kids need.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you recently had that trauma-informed parenting, and I've been exploring this myself as well. It is concerning to see that trauma results in, you know, negative consequences later in life. And this seems like a way where we can really minimize this for children.
There is hope.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And my wife said to me the other day when I was talking to her about, hey, I've got these coworkers that are resource parents, you know, it's her eyes sort of lit up and she said it's something that she has thought about before. And you got a virtual event, so this could be something she could attend.
I would love that. I'm holding a virtual event. Everything's virtual right now.
Yeah.
On October 7th from 6:30 to 8 p.m., people call me or email me to register because I want to have a little control about people popping in and out. And it's really a cool event where I have four current resource parents who have volunteered their time, which time is so valuable, to come and answer questions about what it's like to be a resource parent. What do you need to be a resource parent? What are the cool things about it? What are the things that are hard about it? There will also be certifiers from the different areas, Lynn Benton and Lincoln, to be there to really explain the process and to answer any questions about specific things related to a family becoming a resource family.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, as you were talking, I was just flashing on seeing how my parents, for example, as they become grandparents, you know, so inspired. And really, we've got range here, right? So as you said, you can be a resource parent at the age of 65 or 70. You can start young. And You know, is there a connection between that theme there, Andrea, that individuals want to give, but they also have this opportunity to re-experience maybe the parenting they once did?
Definitely, or what they wish they would have done. Oh, I mean, a lot of people talk about that.
Yes.
I think the most important thing for people out there to know is that your unique characteristics as an individual will be an asset to a child who is experiencing foster care,
yeah.
whether that's your ethnicity, your race, your language, your religion, your age, your socioeconomic status. You don't have to be even a middle class or wealthy family to be a foster family.
Yeah. I mean, what is just your emotional feel on how profound this is for kids?
Oh my gosh, to be living with the right person who has welcomed them into their home they can go home there are no words. I mean, it's really so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when that all works out, the benefit for both the parent and the kids has got to be shared.
Absolutely. And the whole family. A lot of times what we hope is that resource parents can eventually have a relationship with that whole family. Talk about great modeling for that child and for that child to have multiple connections. It's okay for and wonderful for a family to have multiple or a child to have multiple people who they can rely on in their first family, with their resource family, teachers, community members.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It makes me think of, you know, myself growing up with my mom, single parenting, but also having parents that are remarried. You know, clearly from my experience, but I mean, as you said, there is a variation for someone that's suitable to be a parent, and maybe, you know, don't think out of the box. Like, it's okay if you're passionate about this, explore it.
Absolutely.
With you guys, because if you're curious, explore it. You guys will do your best to make a fit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just want to talk to people. I want to answer your questions and see what we can do for this county,
yeah.
for the children in this county.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it so much, Andrea. If folks want to find you on the interwebs or through the phone, how are they going to get a hold of you?
You can text me or call me at 971-501-0941. You can also email me at the most painfully long email address known to man, which is my first name, Andrea.bellows. Number two. Mm-hmm. At dhsoha.state.or.us.
And the best Google search term you've discovered?
Oh, just my name and ODHS if they want to reach me.
Okay. So, yeah. Andrea Bellows, ODHS. Try Googling that for Lincoln County if you're interested in being a resource parent. Andrea, thank you so much. Please come back on the show.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much.
Okay. And thanks for listening to us today. We will see you same time, same place next week on Connections.